Hi, this is Ace McKay from JQ99.3 in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You're listening to Matt Hammett and the Lead Me Lifecast.
Hey, I want to thank my buddy Ace for opening up the show today. Today we're talking about the curse. It's about natural struggles that all men and women have that bring tension into our relationships. And Sarah and I are actually going to talk about some of these tensions in our own marriage and show you some of the simple solutions that have helped us along the way. Thanks again for listening to the Lead Me Lifecast. This is episode 3, The Curse. Genesis 3, 16 through 19. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. In the beginning, life and marriage were beautiful by design. The creation story found in the first two chapters of the Bible describes life before the curse. That's right, two chapters out of 1,189. Can I say that again? Two chapters out of 1,189 are all we get before a husband and wife find a way to mess things up. I guess some things never change. Thankfully, there's more to the story. Front to back, the pages of the Bible paint a clear picture of God's redemption plan for a fallen people, with Jesus Christ at the center of it all. The meaning of life and marriage is clarified through the union of Christ and His church. This story is not told in a clean-cut, fairy tale fashion. It's messy and complicated, just like we are. And in the end, we're offered hope. Our hope and our promise is that all that is left broken will be restored, and the purpose of every good and evil thing will be revealed. However, between the glorious beginning and end is the here and now, where a man's work and struggle never ceases, where a woman's desire to be loved and known, especially by her husband, continues to burn at her chest. The curse remains a harsh reality of the human experience that we all share. Our joy and pain, wrestling with self and others, our losses and our victories are common to us all. You're not alone in this fight, and my hope is that you not only survive, but that you thrive in this short breath of eternity that, for the sake of staying on point, I'll call the curse. So I just read from Genesis 3 about the curse, and it talks about the two things for the woman, which is pain and childbearing.
Yeah.
Which has not gone away.
Ouch. Yeah.
Thankfully, we have modern medicine that makes it not quite as painful.
But, I did have an epidural all four times.
You did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's all right, because you're still my hero. The second part of this curse is the longing that a wife has for her husband. You know, and not that men don't long for their wives. However, that longing that a woman has for her husband to be emotionally engaged with her on a daily basis definitely runs deeper than it does for men. And so, you know, and oftentimes a man is remaining or can get stuck in being engaged mentally and emotionally with his work. And that's where this tension really starts to get heavy sometimes. I think that's a byproduct of our curse in this life, is that as we strive and work and every day has its troubles that we have to attend to in and out of our homes, it can take our heart and our mind away. And so I really want to help men who are out there engage their wives on a daily basis and learn how to do that in a way that when these tensions and conflicts arise, I really want to help men know how to deal with them. And so, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about this tension from a woman's point of view and help the men out there just love their wives a little better today.
all the women I talk to, it's been like occurring to me there is such a common theme. And maybe it's not for everybody, but the ones that I've been encountering over the last 15 years, it seems like pretty black and white. The woman has a feeling, a hurt, an emotion. She expresses it to her husband. He either maybe doesn't listen, doesn't digest. Maybe he pacifies her to an extent. In our situation, it was, and in many that I've seen, it's, well, I'm not that way. You must have taken that wrong. That's not true. Or, you know, you're overreacting. You're picking on me. Nothing's good enough for you. And so for us, then it goes deeper. Then we're hurt by that reaction to the core of who we are as women. We want to be known and understood and our feelings to be validated. Not that you have to think we're right in everything. That doesn't mean that we get a pass to be and act however we want to. It's just a validation in how we feel. I mean, yesterday you had worked maybe 10 days straight. You were in, I mean, there were only 6-hour days, some of them. You were very helpful around those times, but you weren't in. You didn't have a weekend in about 10 days. So, you know, we planned that yesterday would be that day. You'd be inside. And by like 11 o'clock, you're basically expressing a list to me of things you had to get done for work. And, you know, maybe it would take an hour. And it kind of hurt my feelings because it could have been done the day before. It could have been done the next day. It didn't really have to be done that day. And so I expressed to you, hey, I'm feeling a disconnect because, you know, it's been a solid 10 days. We've been really flexible. And, you know, you said you're going to be present and you're going to be in today. And you very lovingly responded with, you know what? You're right. I did say that. And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And bam, it was gone. You showed me understanding. You accepted responsibility. But I think in the past, you would have said, well, this is my job. What am I supposed to do? I have to make a living. These are important things. Like, there would be all of these reasons why you were not wrong and I was overreacting or I was being irrational or something. And so, I mean, literally, you kept the peace. I didn't go any further. Like, it was like, bam, over. Now, had you maybe taken the other route of defensiveness and telling me I was wrong, well, that would have then sparked me to say, well, wait a minute, you're not understanding. And I would have started feeling further and further away from you because I would, and then you would start to feel further away from me. I hear wives say constantly about their spouses, if he would just show me understanding, accept responsibility for the way it made me feel. He wouldn't even have to say he was wrong, but for accept responsibility, that's how she feels. And that's how what she took away from it. I love you. I know I haven't showed you in the ways that have felt like love to you. I see what you're saying to me. I hear what you're saying. I accept that what I did hurt you. And I'm sincerely sorry that it did. She would find immense healing just through the understanding.
Yeah. It's like, not every little feeling that our wives have or express means that we have to pull out our toolbox and fix something. Sometimes the work and the love is just simply in listening and understanding.
You may always hurt me, but as long as I feel free to express, hey, you're really distracted today and I'm feeling like I need you and I need you to try to just be present because, you know, we need you today. And even if you go, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm so scatterbrained today. I love you. I'm going to try really hard. Bam, it's gone for me. Like, there's no residual hurt there.
Sorry, I'm...
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because I'm thinking to myself, like, all the women listening to this are like, yes, yes.
I'm like, what did I say?
I can just see all the women in their cars like, you tell them, you know, that's exactly what I want my husband to do. It's so funny because it's like, for guys, it's like so much easier said than done. And I don't even know if I can tell you why, because we're just not built the way you guys are. But I will say this. I can't explain why it seems so foreign to us or why it's, you know, a difficulty. However, I can say to the guys out there that when I do get this right, everything's better. Everything.
Well, and as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, what are the enemies of understanding? I can remember some things that I've heard you say, you know, throughout our marriage that make it hard for you. And I think maybe the enemy of understanding is pride.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And not, and pride can cloak itself too. You know, it can be disguised as like
justice
a multitude of things. And so, yeah, like really pride can be even disguise itself as a form of humility. Pride can disguise itself as just hurt or just, you know, thinking, well, you're attacking me. You know, it's like if you don't have any pride, you don't really feel attacked and you can just hear what somebody says and you can just go, okay.
If, you know, you're saying men just wake up in the morning and expect your wife to feel disconnected from you. And when she does, lay down your pride and just show her understanding. It doesn't mean that she, you know, she wins and you lose. It's not a competition. It's literally like, in the scheme of things,
that might
really
be a
thing.
Yeah, you're right. Like the winning and losing, like, I don't know what it is about that, but you're right. It's like,
I think it's the drive. I think you're driven. I think men are naturally competitive and driven. And
or
so,
here's a good one. Well, if you want to talk about that, then I got a few things that I can say.
Right. Yeah. Like, so you're going to mention this. Well, you didn't do that.
Yeah.
And even though you might have a point, clearly that's pride speaking.
Yeah. And you know what? You might have a point, but what do you want your marriage to look like in 10 years?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a place your irritations too.
And there's a place and time for that in the right setting. But you're right. When somebody comes to you, no matter who it is, and says, this is how I'm feeling. It's an opportunity. Again, this is like textbook. What any, you know, doctor, psychologist, whoever that deals with relationships will tell you, but it's so true and it fits again. It's like when they come to you with that disconnect, it's your opportunity to connect. It's your opportunity to grow your friendship, to grow your marriage, to grow your relationship with your kids. That's like through that conflict, it's like comes the growth that we're all actually looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And when you do it the wrong way, you actually, you get further away from the person you want to be close to.
Yeah. Conflict is fertile ground for all this beautiful stuff to grow.
Or destruction to happen.
Or destruction. That's exactly right. It's like,
yeah,
that's exactly right. What are
conflict
you going to, you could even
ground.
Say,
yep.
What are you going to plant in the soil of conflict? When your spouse comes to you with a need or a hurt or a desire or something that may not be positive, are you going to plant a bunch of ugly weeds in your garden of love? Or are you going to plant something beautiful? And that actually leads us to an even broader topic that we're going to discuss next time on the Lead Me Lifecast. And here's a little preview. Have you ever seen a garden that was once lush with healthy plants and flowers become overgrown by weeds that over time have suffocated its beauty? Where is the gardener, you may ask? Well, in the garden of love and marriage, it's you. God has given you the responsibility to vigilantly care for your marriage in this way, with His help. As the gardener, you have a choice. You can be mindful of the weeds in your garden as they grow and gently pluck them at the root, or you can let the weeds grow up, only to later spend countless hours and amounts of energy fighting to pull their roots from the ground, hoping to restore the beauty of what has been overtaken while you overlooked or neglected the problem. Today, well, that'll be next time on the Lead Me Lifecast. We're going to be talking about life in your garden of love and marriage and family. Hey, if you want your story, question, or comment featured on the Lead Me Lifecast, then do me a favor and email me or send me a voice recording from your phone to lifecast@matthammettmusic.com. I'm going to end this episode today with one more piece of the conversation that Sarah and I had that I hope will encourage you today.
So as a man, as you begin to lead your family and be an example when faced with conflict or your wife expressing a disconnect, and you lead by example by showing understanding and love and grace and empathy, you will see as you lead that, your family will do the same. And that's how they will respond when you come to them. So you will have a turn to express how you feel about something that's not that you're not sitting well with, but you're going to have displayed this awesome way of dealing with it. And I really believe your family will give you the same respect.
As the man, you have the opportunity to create the culture in your home. And as they say, you know, be a thermostat, basically. Absolutely. Instead of a thermometer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's such a cliche, but it's so true.
I think most women are happy when their spouse, when their husband's happy. So if you really are setting the thermostat, like, I love when you're happy. Like,
and most men are happy when their wives are happy.
Yes, that's true.
So you want a happy wife?
Yeah.
Learn how to create a good culture of peace in your home.
I mean, even though this is a lead me thing, we both have weaknesses.
Yeah, we'll talk about those in future episodes.
Oh, great.
Bam, it's gone for me. Bam, it's gone for me. Bam, it's gone for me. Bam, it's gone for me.